News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
So you going to Pepe's?
Yes, I am.
Same here. You know, Roy's not going to make it today, but Roy did call up and say, hey, he's listening in Missouri now.
He's
made it over
Joplin
there.
Joplin Moe.
So, hey, hello to Ray, to Roy, and we'll eat your tacos for you. In the meantime.
Right.
All right, now we can start the El Paso History Show second hour with an El Paso History Moment produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Her topic today includes how Amelia Earhart once flew through El Paso as a powder puff.
Powder puffs set down in El Paso. August 21, 1929, 17 female aviators and their airplane set down for the night in El Paso. All were contestants in the first women's air derby, a 2,759-mile race from Santa Monica, California to Cleveland, Ohio. On starting day of the derby in Santa Monica, humorist Will Rogers, who was reporting on the event, referred to the race as a powder puff derby. But make no mistake, these ladies were no powder puffs. Their journey had been fraught with rumors of planes being sabotaged, the death of one of their fellow contestants, and now a bad weather delay. The Hussman Hotel offered the ladies accommodations for the night. The El Paso Electric Company gave them a sightseeing trip and a dinner at the Mint Cafe in Juarez. El Paso Mayor Thomason spoke to the newspapers of his distaste for these female aviators after he learned aviator Marvel Crossan had perished along the route in the Gila River Valley. Thomason stated, "Such races are all right for grown, active, able-bodied men, but they're too much for women." The following morning, the 17 aviators, including Amelia Earhart, first female aviator to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean, and Florence Poncho Barnes, first female stunt and test pilot, flew out of El Paso Airport and into aviation history.
More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
La, 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 la. Hey, good stuff there,
you know,
flying around.
You know where I got up with that one? There was a special that Bernie and I watched this week on Florence Poncho Barnes, who was a heiress from California in Los Angeles, sorry, Pasadena. And she was an amazing lady. I mean, she was crazy. I would love to see a movie that was done really well on her. There's been a couple of them, but she made me, I was more impressed with her than Amelia Earhart.
Woman named Poncho impresses me, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she was out there with the boys. They all had good things to say about her, and she was a test pilot, which for a lot of planes, which was unheard of at those days. So,
interesting stuff.
But it was fascinating, all these ladies going across, which from that group, they formed the 99ers, which we had El Pasoans that belonged to the 99ers,
yeah.
I believe.
It's Betty Ligon, I think.
Yeah, oh, Betty,
right.
Yeah.
El Paso History Alliance, that's what you do, yeah, and for Facebook?
Yes, I do. And we can't forget our wonderful friends over at the El Paso History Alliance page who, you know, help with the history moments and such. Well, they don't help, I mean, but we do it for them. And they do a great job with the pictures and history and information and preservation information. That's run by Max Grossman and Mark Stone. And then we can't forget the oldest and one of the best Facebook pages in El Paso. It's Remember It El Paso Win, which is manned by Barbara Given Bainey.
It's womaned. BGB.
BGB.
Well, she's got help, though. She's the chief bottle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's the chief bottle washer
over there. But she also has Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louie, moderators are Ken Weiss, and Craig Hayes. Thank you guys for doing what you do here. Good old BGB. All right, we got to talk. Tim Bryce is still here. You didn't go away anywhere, did you? Did you, Tim? You still in there?
Nope.
Okay.
Didn't get blown away.
We're going to put up a picture now that, to me, is rather indicative of the sum total of February 2011, about the first week. And it took several days. We got a number of, I believe there's several different pictures we have of you that you sent of things going on there. But the thing was, the first one that we put up there, that lady is standing on the top of her hot tub. And it's like, okay, it's been solid frozen for how long? That kind of thing will break your swimming pool, won't it?
So, yeah, and there were lots of, I had actually heard, I have a swimming pool, so I was a little concerned myself. The main problem I had, a lot of people had, was the big filter tanks. And if there was a combination of problems, because usually when it gets real cold, what do? You just turn on your pump and let the water kind of circulate. But part of the problem with the big freeze that we had for that, it was almost we fell below freezing on Tuesday afternoon, and we didn't get back above freezing until Friday evening. And the problem was is that the El Paso Electric Company, their sites, their power plants are really set up to withstand very hot temperatures, but not lengthy below freezing temperatures at that time. And so you would normally just turn your pumps on for your pools to keep that water circulating, but we had lengthy power outages going along with this. And if you couldn't pump your water, then it just sat there and got colder and colder and colder. And a lot of these big tanks just were split right down the middle from the ice that built up inside of them.
Tanks and pipes.
One thing I remember is, like I said earlier, a few days later, all of a sudden there are piles of carpet in the street. Everybody who had a flood out had to get rid of their carpet. And a lot of people lost a lot of drywall.
Yeah, pipes freezing.
But what we went through this time, that was in February 2011. This time in 2021... We got the easy end of the big storm that clobbered Texas, and we were just on the. I was watching your radar, I guess, coming out, but we were just in the footprint by maybe 100 miles or less, and then the rest of it shifted over to Texas and stayed there. We're talking about basically that would be Valentine's Day and the 15th, the day after in this year. Tell us about that one compared to the one in 2011. We got the pictures up from 2011.
The one for that just happened back a couple months ago, it affected a larger area in that it came and settled, that very cold Arctic air came and settled over central Texas. And again, their power plants are not really set up for a lengthy time below freezing temperatures. And they had a very similar problem than we did back in 2011, that their power plants just froze up. And then, you can't pump the water, all kinds, like you mentioned, then the temperatures come up, and everybody who had pipes frozen, well, they thawed first. And I heard lots of stories back in 2011 with people having busted pipes. And then again, it was repeated in 2021 in February in central and eastern parts of Texas where, you saw the pictures of once the pipes thawed, all the water came through the roofs, a lot of houses.
Everywhere.
A lot of water damage. And like you said,
all this
debris outside from carpets and things that people had to scrape out of their homes.
Well, you got some other weather maps that you gave us. Take a look at those maybe for a second here. But the one that's impressive is the lady standing on top of the water. Also, you have a graph here that shows how the cold snap stayed under freezing for a couple of days and a half, you said. And the line... Like El Paso often does, the line just goes right through here. There was a front that came down. And so those are some of the pictures we have showing now. Amazing stuff. That was February 2011. And I think the next thing we're going to probably end up doing, Andrew and Nero, we'll go to December 26th, snow in 2015. But we got a phone call here coming in from a guy named Raul. Raul, good morning. You're on a radio show with us. What's up?
Good morning. Very interesting guest. I've lived in El Paso most of my life, and most of that life was in the east side of town. But the last 15 years, I've been living very close to the Franklin Mountains, and it really has a power of its own. I've always thought, or I haven't always thought, but since I've been exploring the Franklin Mountains, which is over a long period of time, that the east side of the Franklins is cooler, cleaner, and quieter. Cleaner, I don't think we get as much as the pollution from Juarez and downtown Juarez area.
Maybe, yeah.
I'd like to ask your guest. It seems to me I've lost two trees from these freezes recently, and then the one that we had several years ago. It seems to me that the weather in El Paso has changed. It's hotter summers and some colder winters. Is that true? And if so, what do you attribute the causes to? Thank you.
You bring up a good point because we just, you may have seen it in the news, the National Weather Service, every 10 years they update what we call the averages, the normals. And we just updated our normals for the new 30-year normals, and it did tick up. El Paso, our normal average now temperature did actually go up by almost a degree and a half, a little over a degree and a half And our precipitation, our rainfall, our average rainfall, you know, our average used to be 9.71. Well, now it is 8.78 because we the 70s and 80s had some very wet years, and now we've moved into the 90s and 2000s where we had drier seasons. And so our average rainfall has fallen, and our average temperature has gone up, which is actually a trend that we've seen all over the United States with warmer temperatures. And if you look at a map, you can see there's no doubt that the Earth in general is getting warmer, and that there's more and more evidence that man is at least contributing to part of that. I'll leave it to the politicians to debate, you know, the proper way that we should handle that. But basically, we should do all of our parts to kind of minimize that, because there are definite trends that does show that the Earth is definitely on a warming trend. And if you overlay that with the amount of carbon dioxide that we're putting into the atmosphere, carbon, you know, some methane, other greenhouse gases, it's a pretty similar kind of curve. So it's just something that we need to be aware of as a society, and just take any actions that we can personally. And I've seen, you know, at first I was like, well, what can we do? And I look back to the examples of like leaded gasoline. You know, we were having trouble with lead getting into all sorts of water and things. Once we eliminated that, that problem went away. The ozone hole was another problem that once we identified it, we as a society and a world, we were, you know, we're well on our way to fixing that serious problem. So, you know, I think as a society, once we recognize that there is truly a problem there, then we're able to kind of gather together and figure out the best way to make any kind of adjustment.
Well, Tim, Bryce, I got a question for you about that. How much does the sun have to do with the temperature on the Earth? I was told, I heard somewhere, that the sun basically regulates the temperature on our planet, and it depends on how many sunspots come out of where that things change here. Is that true?
So there's still I've never seen any direct correlation. That a lot of theories have been made about sunspot activity, and you know, it goes through, I believe it's a 17-year cycle that has an influence climatologically on our weather. There's no smoking gun that points to that kind of thing that says, aha, we can clearly see that this is a pattern kind of thing. Now, you take a step back. Of course, the sun does control the temperatures of the Earth. Without the sun, we would be living on we wouldn't even be living on this big icy rock. You know, there would be no life here. So
kind of cold, yeah.
The sun helps keep us warmer than, you know, that's what gives us all the energy. And that's basically just what starts all the weather on the Earth in the first place.
Well, let's take a look at the 2015 December snow. Why did you note that one as a biggie? Because it happened all at once, 8-10 inches. How big was that one?
It was very notable. You get 8 to 10 inches of snow in El Paso in one storm. Not the heaviest snow ever by any stretch of the imagination, but it was kind of noteworthy because the snow started to fall right as the nationally televised Sun Bowl was wrapping up. And people were like, you tune in to watch the Sun Bowl, you expect to see a lot of sun. And on that day, it actually started snowing.
Oh, yeah.
And you're showing the pictures on Facebook there of the Sun Bowl covered in snow right after the game was over. And it just kept snowing, and it snowed into the evening hours. And that's, you know, we ended up with that 8 to 10 inches of snow all across the region. So, you know, it wasn't the biggest snow that we've ever had. We'd have to go back to, I believe it was 1987, mm-hmm. December of 87, December 13th and 14th of 1987. We were pushing 16, 17, 18 inches of snow for that particular snowstorm.
Yeah, that was the first year I moved here, and everybody goes, oh, it never rains and it never snows. That was your, we had a ton of rain.
You got all
snow,
of it.
And I was okay.
Well, Tim, I appreciate you being with us. We're going to take another break here. Hope you're on the other side of it. We'll come back. And we'll find another folder of information to talk about. Which one? Microburst may be next. I think that's what we got coming up here.
Love Microburst.
Oh, Microburst. Well, that was really something else. All right, taking a look at the pictures on Facebook. There's a ruler that somebody stuck in the snow.
About 20 inches.
You got to always do that. Fair enough. All right, who else is looking at us on Facebook here? Anybody?
Oh, but we've got Roy, like I said, tuning in. We have Gogi Sanchez down in Brown Acres in Clint. Mark Flores, we mentioned him earlier, and that's pretty much what I've got so far.
I think we scared him off at the beginning when the audio was gone, but it's back now.
Come back and join us.
Want to thank our technician who put it back together. That would be Andrew J. Polk, the man who is Monday through Friday, the talk show host on Talk El Paso from 4 to 5 p.m. every day right here on this here station. Appreciate you listening to his show during the week as well. Okay, taking a break here. Back in just a moment.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
This is Andrew J. Polk with News Radio 690 KTSM. The COVID-19 coronavirus is still spreading in our community, and anyone who has been exposed or is showing symptoms is asked to get tested. Information on free testing is available at epstrong.org. Find details on how to register for the vaccine at epcovidvaccine.com. eprenthelp.org has resources for tenants and landlords on rental assistance, and epbusinessstrong.org has details on grant and loan funding. From the News Radio 690 KTSM News Desk, I'm Andrew J. Polk.
It's all about the nose. It's your air filter, the first line of defense against bacteria and viruses. If too many germs get stuck in your nose, guess what? You get sick. That's why it's so important to keep your nose clean, just like washing your hands. Nasal irrigation gets rid of germs by rinsing the nasal cavity, but neti pots are hard to use and, frankly, kind of gross. Now there's a better way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself. It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now it's time to start cleaning your nose with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
I'm Larry Gelwicks, the Getaway Guru. Join me on The Travel Show every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. right here on News Radio 690 KTSM. And I'll tell you where to go and how to get there.
No access to the internet but eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine? No problem. Call 211 for a referral to a local vaccine provider. If you know a vaccine-eligible person without internet, please share this information with them. Brought to you by the Texas Department of State Health Services.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated, price-competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-573-9552. That's 800-573-9552. 800-573-9552. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
El Paso's News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got to let you know who's coming in here next week. We got a bunch of things coming up here. May 15th, a new book about lost El Paso restaurants by the El Paso County Historical Society. That's in hour one. Joe Lewells will talk about that book. He contributed to it. Second hour of that day on the 15th of 2021. Barbara Welch, she's our guest to explain the history and mission of the El Paso County Historical Commission. So you got the Historical Society, El Paso County Historical Society, El Paso County Historical Commission, and they are not the same thing.
Nope.
So
nope.
We will let you know the difference there. May 22nd, National Border Patrol Museum on Trans Mountain Road, Northeast El Paso. The only museum they have is right here. We'll take a tour and hear about the Border Patrol's century of history out there. May 29th, talk about the many U.S. Army forts in the West Texas, Southern New Mexico area with military historian John Hamilton. I got to thinking he might need some help on pictures. I don't think so.
No, he's got tons. He does the archives.
Well, he has access to all of Fort Bliss's material.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, June the 5th, Bernie's back. Bernie's back with more early El Paso history up to 1930. We only got about half of that page of things done when he was here last time. And June the 12th, been to War Eagles Air Museum lately? Well, we'll take you a tour. You know, talk about the museum's history, how it started with a collection of vintage airplanes, a private collection of airplanes.
Yeah.
And new executive director, Mike ETT. Mike Ett. ETT.
Ah.
That's his name.
Okay.
He'll be our guest. And maybe Dockendorf as well. You never know. What do you got?
In a region rich in resources, unique geography, warm weather, and even warmer people, Castner Range stands out. And the Frontera Land Alliance, Franklin Mountains Wilderness Coalition, and the El Paso Community Foundation are working hard to get the picturesque 7,080-acre Castner Range designated as a national monument to protect it forever. Castner Range, it's a national monument and it has a nice ring to it. We hope that'll be there eventually soon. But they need your help, and if you'd like to visit castnerforever.org and sign a letter of support or give them a call at 351-8352 to find out how to donate to the fund for Castner Range. Castner Range has been there forever. Let's keep it here forever.
All right, we were going to go to Microburst, but Andrew, you said we didn't show all the snow pictures. So you want to do some more snow pictures. Oh, my God. What can you say about snow? Hey, Tim, what can you say about snow? We don't get it that much here. You know, Tim, I'm kind of wondering, because you say the mountains may not affect the weather patterns that much, but I always see them coming in from, like, the west and the south, and they come over, they go over the Gila, they don't come toward El Paso anymore, they keep going up to Las Cruces and the Hatch, or they dive down and miss El Paso City and go clobber San Elizario. Now, isn't that affect, don't the mountains affect that somehow?
I tell people, you know, one of the toughest things to forecast is for any meteorologist anywhere in the United States, even for places like Bismarck and Minneapolis, is snow, because snow is so quirky. And so many times here in El Paso, the El Paso City is going to be sitting right at 32 degrees. And, you know, that's the magic number that we need to get snow. So, in all honesty, I can remember one of my biggest forecast busts was that we were looking at a forecast, and I don't remember the date of it, but we were calling for, like, you know, 3-4 inches of snow the next day. And the El Paso Independent School District, Isleta, Socorro, they canceled classes. And I got to work at midnight that night, and I looked at the weather maps, and I saw all the cold air that was supposed to be headed our way was stuck up around Amarillo, and I just put my head down on the desk because I knew what was going to happen. And sure enough, the next day, the temperature was at 34 degrees all day, and it rained all day. You know, we got almost an inch of rain, but it was cold rain. If it had been just a few degrees cooler, it would have all been snow. But, you know, it was one of those things where just by being off 2 degrees made all the difference in the world, whether you got a lot of rain, a lot of cold rain, or a lot of snow. And that's what makes forecasting snow a challenge.
And then people yell at you and you didn't do it. So it goes.
You know, everybody at the Weather Service, we always are always trying our best to get the forecast the most accurate and best that we can. But on occasion, we do mess it up. But again, we use those as opportunities to learn and better understand the science of meteorology.
Well, just like in any newscast, you can predict the weather, but I'd hate to be the guy to try to predict the news. I mean, you know, it's only fair. You guys shouldn't be dissed either for what you do. Tim Bryce sitting there, National Weather Service. We're going to take another break. Now we're going to come back and talk about the microburst because you guys got some incredible pictures of that. Okay, what's that? Throw that phone number out there just in case.
Give us a holler at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
El Paso History TV available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Oh, hey you, it's Nicole Lapid, New York Times bestselling author, the only financial expert you don't need a dictionary to understand, and now the host of the new iHeartRadio daily podcast, Money Rehab. So here's the deal. I'm going to rehab your wallet so that you can get your financial life together once and for all. Because we all have money problems, and the biggest mistake you can make is not admitting you have a problem. Find Money Rehab on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tired of cleaning your gutters? Leaf Filter is America's number one gutter guard, guaranteed to keep gutters clean for good. Get 15% off your purchase now. Call 844-300-LEAF or visit www.tryleaffilter.com for a free estimate.
Hi, this is Rick from the Air Conditioning Company. If you're even thinking about buying a new air conditioner this year, you'll want to hear this. Air conditioning equipment is rising 10%, so if you act now, you'll save 10%. Plus, if you call the Air Conditioning Company today, you can take advantage of our preseason discount of 20%. That's 20% off the Air Conditioning Company and an additional 10% off on equipment. That's an average savings of about $3,000 on a conversion and $2,100 on a straight replacement. That's a whole lot of money if you ask me. Get a new high-efficiency system with lifetime warranty replaced from $5,000. But you have to act now to get our preseason discounts. At the Air Conditioning Company, estimates are always free, and if you're looking for superior service, we have great deals. Call the Air Conditioning Company today at 842-8615 or log on to airconditioningcompanyllc.com. That's airconditioningcompanyllc.com. You'll love our company. License 26622E.
Summer's right around the corner, and the coolest new shirts just arrived at UNTUCKit. We have performance shirts that wick sweat, short sleeve styles to beat the heat, and our comfortable polos. UNTUCKit shirts are designed to be worn untucked, so they're just the thing to look and feel cool in the summer heat. And UNTUCKit shirts are perfect as we transition back to the things we've been missing, like dinner with friends, reuniting with family, and vacations too. When the heat is on, the number one shirt to keep you cool is UNTUCKit. Use code SUMMER for 20% off your first purchase at UNTUCKit.com.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
This week only in El Paso Inc.
Why the price of lumber is skyrocketing and how it's impacting new home prices in the borderland.
Also in the Inc., how the pandemic has shifted what El Paso workers and employers are looking for, with flexibility being key.
Save the date on June 10th. El Paso Inc. invites the community to honor our frontline healthcare work heroes, the El Pasoans of the Year at an awards celebration at Southwest University Park. That's cool.
El Paso's Business Journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night at 10:35 p.m., host Saul Sines reports from the rail yards on the border. Customs and Border Protection is seeing a dangerous trend. Migrants jumping on trains coming in from Mexico to enter the U.S. Officers showed ABC7 where they have found migrants hiding, taking us through the entire process from the time the train enters the U.S. to the moment the train stops.
ABC7 Extra Edition went to Union Pacific rail yards to see just how dangerous jumping onto trains can be. Join host Saul Sines at ABC7 Extra Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. right after the news.
Be there or be square and jump a train. No, don't do that. All right, talking about the weather, Tim Bryce, are we getting through this like you would normally, you do a lot of presentations. Are we doing what you normally do, or are we taking a couple of different turns here?
No, you're doing a little different. Most of the times that I do, I'm part of a team with the National Weather Service that teaches students all about weather and weather safety all across the United States and all around the world. So we have some presentations about the basics of the weather, and we have another presentation that covers severe weather and safety tips. So this is a refreshing change for me.
Oh, well, cool. Well, I appreciate you doing this for a couple hours on a Saturday morning. We've got a lot of people wondering about the weather stuff. So I got to thinking, why not? And Andrew, put up that quad picture we had there of the four pieces of the Franklin Mountains. That's actually out the back of my house. And over time, we were able to gather some shots there. And different people call that part of the Franklin Mountains different things. It could be the elephant or the buffalo up on the mountain there, the bison they call it, or whatever it is. It's an old lava dome, I'm pretty sure. But we had it in various types of weather. Sunset, obviously, and then the ones where the clouds cover it just blow me away. And you never know what's going to come out from under there. But quite often, it's snow up there.
Yep.
And how often?
The temperature, it's not uncommon at all for us during the winter that we'll have a storm system move across where it's just warm enough in El Paso, 34, 35, 36 degrees. But as you guys know, as you go higher up in elevation, it gets colder. Anybody who's been up to Rio Doce knows that. So it's nice that the Franklins stick up high enough that they are actually the tops of it are below freezing. And it's neat to see that line. And I always look to say, how close was it to getting down to where, you know, people live on the mountain? So you can see many times that that line, and that's that freezing line that that makes a difference between that rain and that snow.
Well, the top of the highest mountain in the Franklin Range is about equal with the village of Rio Doce in elevation.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, right. You figure that out and you know where you are. Let's take a look now at a microburst. I mean, you guys took some good pictures of this because you knew it was there. The rest of us were just running like crazy to get out of the way. But so what do you guys do?
It's a funny story about that one because I left the office, and that microburst that you're showing the pictures of was very photogenic because it was right on the west side, and anybody up on Trans Mountain could see it. I was leaving the office. I remember leaving the office as the first raindrops hit me on the head as I walked out the office. And then as I drove away from the office, you know, I got down Country Club, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and I said, oh, my goodness, what is happening? And this microburst, a microburst is just essentially, if you guys have ever seen, like a water balloon that the kids have, they drop that water balloon on the table. It splats, and then it goes out in all different, you know, all directions. All of that. And that's what happens is basically a big ball of cold, wet rain drops out of a thunderstorm and hits the ground, and then it spreads out in all directions. And it happened right on top of the weather office there out in Santa Teresa.
We got you guys. Yeah. We got you guys with a storm. There you go. Take one.
Exactly. Right on top of us. So 73 mile an hour wind gust
at
the office.
God.
And it was very impressive. And like I said, we got the pictures on Facebook. It was just so impressive. We even had a gentleman was in an airplane that was taking off.
Oh, geez.
And as it flew, I assume it was flying off to the West Coast or Phoenix, and got some great shots from up in the airplane as well.
Well, how much rain is falling at that point in the middle of that? How much, like 6 inches
gallons
per hour kind of rate or what?
It looks impressive, and it comes down very fast, but you know, it rained for less than 20 minutes at the office. It seems like it comes down very quickly. So you know, at the office we received less than an inch of rain because it would just all comes down. It's more visually impressive than actually as far as rainfall goes underneath. It's really the wind that's the threat with these microbursts.
You could drown standing up. doing that.
It certainly looks like that from the pictures.
Well, okay, tell us some other story. You have a question, Melissa?
Oh, no, I was just thinking about when I was up in northern Arizona working, I was in a microburst, and I talk about raising the hair on the back of your neck to have that hit you. It's like, whoa.
Is there hail in the middle of that, too?
Can be.
There can be, for sure, but the most noticeable thing, because I was looking at it, the temperature was 95 degrees, wow. And then like 15 minutes later, it was below 70. It was 67 or degrees, so a great temperature drop. So you notice that, but that wind can be actually approaching tornado strength wind inside some of these microbursts. And over the years, we've had different microbursts around El Paso. They actually are not that uncommon. Again, they usually occur out in the desert. But this one was just very photogenic because anybody, like I said, up on Trans Mountain on the west side was able to see it. And we got some good video from some people. And actually myself, some of those pictures you're showing are my pictures. Because I said I'm heading up Trans Mountain to get a good shot of that.
Jeez, what a deal. Well, all kinds of weather in El Paso, to me, has made impressions. The one, let me dial back now to 2006, August the 1st. That one was incredible because I was right in the middle of that one. And I looked up, and so far it looked like the roof was going to hold. My backyard started filling up. That made me a little nervous because there is an exit hole, but I had to go out there with my boots on and clear it out. So I mean, you know, that was a whole lot of rain all of a sudden. So I got to thinking, little smart fellow that I am, I decided to go the next week on the other side of the mountain next to the A up in that area, and I went up in there to see what kind of deals, because I was thinking, well, maybe they uncovered some interesting things. Well, sure enough, that did. There was a normal pattern coming down the canyon next to the A up on the mountain on the Franklins, and normally the pattern of maybe about 25 feet across, all rocks, and that's where the water comes down. Well, this had an extra channel in the middle, about 3 feet wide and 4 feet deep. All of a sudden, that channel appeared that day, apparently, because I went up there, and it wasn't there before. I went up there, and you know what was at the bottom of that channel? I hadn't seen the light of day since 1944. A piece of the B-24 Liberator that hit the mountain over there. There was an engine mount sitting at the bottom of that. And sure enough, that thing had been buried that night when they built a road up there. The plane crashed, piece fell in the canyon, they buried it with a road, and then that storm uncovered that. So the power of the water, impressed the heck out of me. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. People underestimate the power of water. You know, if you've ever picked up a 1 gallon a bucket of water, it weighs about 8 pounds, and you multiply that over the numerous gallons of water that are flowing in the thing. That's what we tell people. When it comes to flash flooding, too many people die in their cars because they think they're in this big, heavy truck or big, heavy car, and they don't realize that water is so much more powerful than that, and it easily sweeps a car or a truck off the road. So, you know, we have quirky little sayings like, turn around, don't drown, to help people just remember that you shouldn't cross a flooded roadway. And I teach that to the kids all the time. I said, this is where you get to be the boss of mom or dad. Tell them what to do, but don't cross those flooded roadways because you don't know if the road's even there. Has it been eroded away? Or, you know, that power of that water can easily sweep these cars, trucks off the road. So I just tell people, you know, it's better to take 5 minutes to go find a different way to the grocery store or, you know, be a few minutes late to whatever meeting you had to get than try to risk going across that flooded roadway.
Oh, well, it only takes like 2 inches. 1.5 to 2 inches for a car to start to float, right?
Hydroplane.
Hydroplane.
Hydroplane. For a car to be swept off of moving water, it's about 2 feet of moving water sweep a car off of a road. Really less than 6 inches can sweep you off your feet. But like you said, you even get a lot of times we'll go months in El Paso without rain. And then that rain, once it does fall, it gathers up all those oils and things. And that could be very slippery, and we're actually very cognizant of that, that if we've gone a long period of time without rain in El Paso, we'll put out a statement to remind everybody, hey, the streets are going to be extra slippery today. It's just not regular rain. It's mixed in with oil and everything else that has kind of built up over the last few months.
Well, I got to tell you, that one that happened 2006, that August, that was really an amazing thing on the side of a mountain to have that kind of thing go on. But there was another one. We don't have pictures of it. Another one I wanted to discuss with you. And we'll talk about it. Have to take a break here in a second or two. But the next year, in 2007, there was a hurricane that came and sat on El Paso for a little while. Then it moved up to I-54. It went and sat on top of Sierra Blanca up there in Mira Ruidoso. That was an amazing thing. Well, describe that one.
So actually, according to my notes, that was July 27th, 2008. So it was actually 2 years.
2 years, later. Okay.
And so basically, Hurricane Dolly moved up through the Gulf of Mexico and came all the way up the Rio Grande. And I remember sitting at home, and I pulled up the radar from our office, and it's very odd to see the circulation was still intact from Hurricane Dolly. You know, we didn't have the real super strong winds associated with Hurricane Dolly, but you could still see the rotation of the original storm system. And then, like you said, it came over El Paso, gave us several inches of rain, and then moved up and kind of sat on Ruidoso. And I tell people, you know, heavy rain in the mountains is a bad, bad deal. And, you know, they were talking about 6 to 7 inches of rain inside Ruidoso. And unfortunately, there was the Rio Ruidoso ended up flooding, a significant flooding in that. I believe there was at least one fatality associated with that. So it does show you that even in the El Paso region, we don't get the direct effects of tropical systems, but we get the leftover bits and pieces of it. And it can definitely give us a lot of heavy rain.
Well, amazing stuff. Taking a break here on the El Paso History Radio Show. Tim Bryce is on the phone from the National Weather Service. We'll have time when we come back, take a call or two. You got anything else you found on Facebook?
No, just kind of the same people. People are busy today. It's so nice outside.
Well, we appreciate you being there. And also, you can go back and look at these radio shows on TV on Facebook. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Radio show on TV on Facebook. And they'll be there when you get there. We got them all there since last November. Anyway, throw the phone number. See what happens.
Give us a call at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
If you're a local business owner, you know how important it is to be here for your customers. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson runs a small business in El Paso, too. And Ralph Dickerson's here to help you protect your small business. Give him a call, 915-581-0000. Or come by his office, located at 497 North Wrestler, Suite A, right at the corner of Wrestler and Orizaba. Stop in today. Call 581-0000 for State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson.
Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the Golden EIB microphone, a new podcast hosted by James Golden, known better as Bo Snerdly, that takes you behind the scenes for a look at the man who changed America as we know it. Coming soon to iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Presented by MyPillow.
The Sentinel Group sponsors this paid advertisement for legal services and is responsible for legal services. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-399-5446.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-399-5446. 800-399-5446. That's 800-399-5446.
iHeart salutes mom, giver of life, cleaner of clothes, fixer of problems, and matriarch of multitasking. With her own radio station, iHeart Moms Radio, an entire station filled with hit songs from some of our favorite moms and music, like Sheryl Crow, Beyonce, Kelly Clarkson, and many more. Whether you're seeing mom face-to-face or keeping it virtual, iHeart Moms Radio is ready for you to turn your speakers up and toast your mom with songs from women who are strong, fearless, and talented just like her. Happy Mother's Day from iHeart, number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one app. iHeartRadio.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Last segment here on weather. Good, real quick, let you know, the El Paso Rose Garden is open, yes. And that's over on Copia Street, right across the street from Crockett School and Memorial Park Baseball Field. Take a look at that. I bet it smells good.
Oh, it's amazing right now because, you know, we had the ice, the freeze, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's lost a lot of trees, lost a lot of bushes, but the roses adored it.
Oh, they like that.
They went nuts in our yard. We've got 13 bushes. The Rose Garden's just absolutely exploding, so get out there and see it. It's amazing.
Smell it.
Yeah.
Go smell it.
Yeah, it smells.
And you got
wonderful.
A Keystone thing there?
Speaking of exploding, we lost cactus and things, but we have other plants that have just gone crazy in the botanical gardens at Keystone Heritage Park. Please stop by and see us at 4200 Donovan Drive in the Upper Valley, and we're also taking reservations for weddings, parties, and whatever at the gardens because that helps us keep the gardens going. So give us a call at 915-584-0563 to make your reservation.
Andrew, put up that picture of Tim Bryce, our guest, with the weather balloon. Because we haven't talked about weather balloons, Tim. And what you were telling me on the phone about a week ago about weather balloons is amazing. Now, this is a picture of you standing there inside the building with your weather balloon. Then we have another picture of the outside of the building with this incredibly huge, tall garage door. And I put two and two together and figured out that's how you launch the weather balloons. You open that big door. Is that right?
It's true. Yeah, so it's a balloon that, you know, a lot of people, you say balloon, they picture something you get at the fair or at a birthday party. These are balloons that are, you know, 5 feet across by 5 feet tall. And we release them twice a day. About 70 different weather offices across the United States release them, and then they're released all around the world. And basically, at the end of the, we have a string tied to that balloon, and at the end of it is just a little instrument package. And as it floats up, it takes the relative humidity, temperature readings, pressure readings, and then as the balloon is tracked with the GPS, we can tell what the direction the winds are blowing and how strong they're blowing. And like I said, it's real important to know what the weather is down at the surface, but it's equally important to know what the weather is doing, you know, above us, because the atmosphere is three-dimensional. So that gives us a snapshot. And like I said, all these different weather offices release it all around the country at the same time. And basically, I think in El Paso right now, we're doing 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. releases. No, it's 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. because of the time change. we stick to the Greenwich Mean Time, but when we change the clocks, we have to jump those around a little.
And you guys got out there and took some good pictures. That's cool. But the other thing I want to ask you about, we also discussed the fact that the fire up in Ruidoso was pretty intense. Mm-hmm. You told me something I didn't realize, that you guys send one of your officers up there to the fire to advise them on site.
Exactly. You know, when it comes to the fire, once a fire gets to a certain size, it actually can, how they fight it, it's very weather dependent. And we have what's called an incident meteorologist. And our incident meteorologist in El Paso is Tom Bird. And he is a great incident meteorologist. He's been doing that for over 20 years. So whenever there's a fire, either in the local area, like around Ruidoso, he's been up to the Gila region. But also, you know, not every weather office has it. So last fire season, he was in Colorado and California. So he goes out and helps out wherever they need help, because the fire crews are so dependent on the weather. There's a safety issue. You know, they need to know what the weather is going to do, so they know how to deploy personnel, deploy equipment. And they also need to know, is there a chance of thunderstorms? Because you get a sudden wind shift on some of these fires, and what was it, a fire that was burning in one direction is all of a sudden going to be burning in another direction. And you don't want to get crews trapped in a valley or something like that. So Tom and the other incident meteorologists are there just to protect the fire crews, help them plan, help them know the best strategy, what the weather's coming up, so they can fight that fire.
I want to know what's up on top of that tower in that ball. Is there an antenna in there? What's in there?
There is there's a big dish up there. It's very impressive. First of all, it's quite a hike to get up that. It's almost 100 meters up, so it's a good hike up that tower, going up those stairs. But once you get up there, it's a big dish, and it just but it's actually weighted so that you can move it with your hand. So, but as that radar spins, that's what gives us. We tell people it's our X-ray vision for thunderstorms. Let's inside those thunderstorms and see which direction they're moving.
X-ray vision for thunderstorms. Okay. That's what you guys call it. Cool. Well, Tim Bryce, I appreciate you coming on the radio show and telling us stuff. Anything we missed, I'm sure we missed something here. We got about a minute left here.
Well, weather's ever-changing, so he should be back.
Yeah.
It's always fun to talk about the weather because everybody loves the weather, loves to talk about the weather. It's always a subject. You know, whenever you see somebody, how's the weather? And when people find out that I'm a meteorologist, they're fascinated because it's something that a lot of people are interested in. I just happen to get paid to do it.
So, well, that's even better.
It's always a good conversation.
And I like the fact that you live here because you want to, because you could figure out the weather anywhere, but you figured out this is probably one of the better places to live. Did you figure that out?
You know, I love the weather here, and, you know, it brings enough variety every once in a while. I look at people. I tell people, if you want to work with the Weather Service and you love hurricanes, you can work down in Miami or New Orleans.
Sure.
If you love snow, you know, Minneapolis or Buffalo. I tell people I like sunny, warm weather, so I work here in El Paso.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Tim Bryce, thank you for spending your Saturday morning with us. We do appreciate it, and I thank you for taking a look at the weather like you do. But I think I learned a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, I did too.
And
yeah,
a very interesting look at the history of weather in El Paso. Thanks again, Tim Bryce. You take care. We'll see you on the Weather Channel maybe someday, huh?
Right.
Cool. Thanks a lot,
Never
Tim.
Never know.
Take care.
Take care.
And Melissa, are you coming back next week?
Well, yes, I'm going to be coming back next week.
But also, you're going to go to Pepe's today?
Yes, I am,
along with
Bernie and everybody else.
And thank you to Andrew Polk in the control room. Appreciate your help, dude. See you Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Next week, the bell will ring. See you then. Take
Bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.